Now, I know you can do better than that. Let's try it again. Isaiah 65:24. That's not bad. One more time. Great.
Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Where He was, He is today. Not one word of God has changed. It's just not history that we're still living, it's still breathing, and in its pages we hear God's voice. Not one time has it ever come back void. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. No one's ever out of reach. Each line has power to change regret. It reminds me there's no sin He won't forget. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. There's forgiveness in its message. There's a path to new direction. And for the brokenhearted, it restores. And the lost are found by its words. Not one word of God has changed.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sister Cheryl. Brother John Johnson, would you pray for us, please? Historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. To 2 Peter. Now, last week we looked at chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. I hope we didn't cover it. I hope we uncovered it. I hope we can understand that I don't guess there's one verse any more important than any other verse in the Bible, but these verses right here are very important.
Yes, they are.
Very important. And let me just try to read them slow and deliberate here. Maybe they can sink in one more time here. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Might get an amen right there, maybe. I mean, just on that right there. That we got the truth. It never changes. If it changed, it wouldn't be you, us meeting this morning. We're meeting this morning because it never changes. Right. Not one word's failed. And it's not fables. Right. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he's still coming. But we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, Peter saw him. He saw his majesty. He saw him. He was right there. For he received from God, the capital F Father, honor and glory when there came such a voice so that Rick could obey the voice. So came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, from heaven. This is my beloved son. It's what the voice said, quote, this is my beloved capital son, in whom I'm well pleased, quote. That's what the voice from heaven said. That's what it said. And this voice, looks like it's the one that's on your lap. This voice right here, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now that's great right there. If that happened this morning, that would be great. If you were on a mountain and God come down and spoke to you, that would be great. You would tell everyone. I would tell everyone. Guess what happened? Guess what happened? Yes. But then 19 says, we also have a more sure word. Let me read it the way it's written. We have also a more sure word. On top of that mountaintop experience, on top of God speaking to your heart, we also got something else. We also got something else. I know he spoke to you sometime or other. I know it wasn't out loud like over there in Matthew that we read last week. But I know he spoke to your heart sometime or other. But guess what? On top of that, we got something else. We also have something else. We have also a more sure word.
Yes, amen.
Sister Cheryl sang about it. It's never changed. It's not going to change. If it did, it wouldn't be used to us meeting this morning if he's going to change it up on us. I'll just go ahead and tell you he's not going to. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, how long? Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, let's review. Chapter 2 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. That's any false doctrine, heresy, anything against the truth. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, your handout there says there's 26 items down through here that these false teachers go along with. This is their marks. This is their message, these 26 things. Now, it's okay if you disagree with that 26, if you want to say, no, there's 27 or 25. That's okay, because this list is man-made. Matter of fact, I don't even know what man I got it from. It's been so long since I got it. If you want to say there's 30 or 20 or 25, that's fine, because this is not Bible. This is just something. It's just a list. You don't have to agree with it. It says, they bring in destructive heresies. These heresies are introduced along with and alongside the truth. Now, don't miss that part right there.
Right.
I've used the illustration of decon. It's only 2% arsenic. It's 98% cornmeal. Would you like some? You want me to bring? But the illustration on your paper is a gallon of milk with a couple of drops of arsenic in it is much more dangerous when it comes alongside with the truth, because the milk's not marked. The decon has the skull and bones on it. But the gallon of milk with the poison in it is not marked. And it's much more dangerous when it comes along with and beside the truth. And you have to weed out which is true and which is not. It's much more dangerous. We're talking about heresies here and damnable doctrines. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, this the Lord that bought them, that refutes the doctrine of limited atonement. Right here it shows God died for them too. They can get in too if they want to, if they want in, if they don't want to follow their own way. Now, don't forget, the most wicked thing Brother Rick can do is go his own way. That's the worst thing I can do is go my own way. Well, right here, this refutes that doctrine. Denying the Lord that bought them. He bought them too. And bring it, their sin debt was paid too. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, and many shall follow. That's a problem. See, some follow. They might not have been part of it, but they follow. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. Now, pernicious is lustful. Lustful ways, and we'll see more of that down through here. And these followers go after false teachers. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11:19 and see a little bit about that. Actually, I think it starts in 18. 1 Corinthians 11:18 gives us part of the reason. They had problems in the Corinthian church. They had divisions. It says, and first of all, when you come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest or made known among you. So we'll know the true from the false. And then back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It's not going to be waiting. The work's going to be short, and damnation's going to be sure. Judgment's going to be sure. It's not going to slumber. Now, we're going to skip for temporary. We're going to skip verse 4 to verse 9. We'll be coming back to that later, good Lord willing. Let's go down to verse 10 and 11 here. It says, but chiefly, now see, we're on the same subject now again, but chiefly them, that's the false prophets and false teachers, that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. These walk after the flesh. They despise government. They have utter contempt. Now, presumptuous is bold. Matter of fact, straight out of the dictionary, it says, confident with excess. That means excess confidence. Now, Sister Kim and I found a quote in the Reader's Digest years and years ago. We've used a lot. We're looking over at each other, and one of us will quote it. And it says, the trouble with ignorance is the further it goes, the more confident it gets.
Yeah.
See, I'm talking about confident with excess.
Yeah.
Brother Dallas had a saying I liked, I use sometimes. He said, often wrong, but never in doubt. You might know them. You might run into them. You might be kin. I think I'm kin to them. Some. Not you, Aunt Dorothy. It wasn't you. Verse 12. Verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. We're talking about false teachers. Okay, false teachers. They possess the nature of brute, wild beasts, wild animals. They condemn without understanding what they're rejecting. They don't know. You okay with that? They don't know. But go after it anyway, see. Verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. Now don't miss in 12 that they're going to be destroyed. And brute beasts need to be destroyed. That's what the Bible says, what we just read. Verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Now, right there, you might want to note that they did not go to work. It's daytime, but they're out riding. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings. See, self-deception is the worst kind. If you trick yourself, if you lie to yourself and believe that, that's the worst kind. It's one thing if I trick you in a horse trade, but if I deceive myself, that's the worst kind. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Spots and blemishes. They pretend to have roots in historic Christianity. But not. We'll see here in a minute. Let me just go on. Verse 14. We're still on verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, and there shall be false teachers among you, is what we're talking about. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. We're talking about addicted. We'll see that a little later. Beguiling unstable souls. We'll go ahead and say false churches are filled up with disgruntled Baptists. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And I really wasn't aiming to say that the Baptist is right. I just have to say it that way. These are unstable. They entice the unstable. They are materialistic. That's why they make merchandise out of us and their children of cursing. So it's what the Bible says. We're reading it out of the Bible. Verse 15 and 16 now. Which have forsaken the right way. Like I said, the worst thing, the most wicked thing Brother Rick can do is go his own way. Leaving the right way. There's one right way. And it's not Brother Rick, by the way. Have forsaken the right way and are going astray, following the way of Balaam. Now again, we're going to come back to 15 and 16 later. Have a little more about Balaam here. The son of Bozer, who loved the wages. Don't miss that part. Remember that? The love of money is the root of all evil. Loved the wages of unrighteousness. A lot of things just clear up when we read it, you know. I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. Could someone help me here? But anyway, verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. In other words, Balaam was mad. He went insane. It was crazy for him to do that. It's what it's saying here. It's what it's saying. 17. These are the false prophets in verse 1. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now, if you remember the water lesson, water is a picture of the Bible, but it's also a picture of the Holy Spirit. So these do not have, they've got another spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried about with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now, it doesn't say M-I-D-S-T. That would be in the middle. It says M-I-S-T. A mist is small drops of water. But here, it's drops, small drops of darkness. Drops of darkness is reserved for them forever. Tempest is a whirlwind, a tempestuous wind, a squall, a violent wind, never a single gust, but a steady blowing wind, a violent storm. Verse 18, for when they speak, great they, by the way, are the false prophets in verse 1 and the false teachers. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. They trick those who might have otherwise escaped. But the false teachers and false prophets come in and lead them astray because they're vulnerable. Vulnerable. They are not grounded and rooted. They're unstable. So we're having this lesson so you won't be unstable. So you'll be grounded. So you won't get tricked. Don't get slicked. Don't get tricked. Don't do it. The Lord talked about this. Matthew 15:14. He said, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. He talked about it in Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Then verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the... Now they, again, is the false teachers, false prophets, or those that's being tricked by them. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, please note, they knew about Him. They had knowledge. It does not say they put their faith in Christ. It does not say they had faith in Jesus. It does not say they received Him. It said they knew about Him. They had heard of Him. The same way I was for 20 years. I learned about Him. I knew about Him in Sunday school. I had knowledge, but I did not know Him. I did not know Him. And they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. See, it's better never to be born than to not be born again.
Right.
That would be worse. Now, the Lord talked about this too. In Matthew 12:43, starting in 43. When the unclean spirit's going out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven more spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. We're talking about false prophets and false teachers. And we're talking about it today. Said it will happen today. Then verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. It doesn't say they received Him or got in the way. See, I'm in the way. I'm in the glory land way. I got in the way. The Lord put me in the way. But they know about the way, then after they had known it, to turn from the... Notice, it doesn't say turn from Him, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, they did turn from Him, but the way they did it is they turned from the holy commandment. It's what the Bible says. See, when I leave the Bible, I'm leaving Him. Now, I heard the preacher use this phrase two times in the last 2 weeks. And what he said was, he was talking about reformation without regeneration. It's on your paper. Reformation is reforming, turning over a new leaf, starting again, being good. Now, I did that many times. I reformed many times. And then I'd stub my toe again and fall again. But that's not the same thing as regeneration. Regeneration is being born again.
Yes, amen.
Born again. Regenerated. Born from above. Receiving Christ. Being born again. That's the difference. And it's in 21 here. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Again, the Lord talks about this in Luke 12:47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. In America, where we got the gospel on every dial, on every radio, on, I guess it's on TV, I don't know, we're going to be more accountable. We'll be more accountable. Then verse 22. And it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, the main thing to note is Peter is not saying that you can lose your salvation. If it's your salvation, you might lose it. But if it came from God, here's what Peter says about it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of mercy. It's rolling around here everywhere. You can get in on it this morning if you want to. His abundant mercy hath begotten us, birthed us, born again us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, God's the one that births us again. When you get born again, He did it. He did it. This is something He did. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Permanent. Permanent is what we're talking about.
Right.
You who are kept by the power of God. See, the same one that saves you is the same one that keeps you.
Right.
I couldn't save myself and I can't keep myself
right, safe.
Through faith. Not through being good. Not through keeping the Ten Commandments. Not through the sevenfold amens.
Right.
Not through being baptized.
Right.
No, it's through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter did not believe you could be saved and lost, saved and lost, saved and lost. That's not the dogs and the hogs here. Nowhere in the Bible is a saved person called a dog or a hog. They're always sheep or something else maybe, but never a dog or a hog. Now, one problem with a dog is, well, one thing they do is take away the blood. They'll lap up the blood. But that's not all. A dog will eat anything. He's not worried about the inside. He'll eat anything. And these false prophets and false teachers will read anything. They'll watch anything. They're not concerned about the inside.
Right.
A hog is not concerned about the outside. You dress her up and take her out there, she'll jump right in that mud hole. jump right in the mud hole again. She's not concerned about the outside, and neither is a false prophet or a false teacher. Then down in back to 2 Peter 3 here, verse 4. We're going to get out of chapter 2 just a little bit here. Again, you don't have to go with this man-made list here of 26 if you don't want to. Verse 4 says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. These false prophets and false teachers, they're not sure. They don't know. They want to put question marks, just like the enemy. Yea, hath God said, just like the enemy did back in the beginning in the garden. And then verse 5 also in 2 Peter chapter 3. For this they willingly are ignorant of. There's that word again. And let's see, we read there, I think, 5 times, I'd not have you to be ignorant, brother. You don't want to be willingly ignorant. Let me just ask it this way. Are you reading the Bible every day? Are you praying? You don't have to know a whole lot. You can be like me, like a half-burned-out light bulb, not very bright, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You don't have to know a whole lot to read the Bible. You really don't have to know. But for this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God. All you got to do is read it. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Talking about false prophets and false teachers, and we're talking about them today. These are warnings against them. They're quick to believe a lie. So don't you be. Don't be quick to believe a lie. And the reason is so we can live like we want to.
Right. Right.
It's the main reason. We don't want to change. We don't want to submit to authority. We read verses about that last week. The evolutionists know, a lot of the evolutionists know, evolution's not true. But if they don't stick with it, then they got to go with this. And they're opposites. See, I could shave off this side and let this side grow, dye it green, spike it straight up. Somebody's going to follow me. I can get a follow. We'll follow anything but the truth. Anything but the truth, it seems like. These false teachers grope for any teaching that leaves Christ. So the demand is less binding, is why. The problem is it's all a lie. It's not the truth. False teachers and prophets have always been. They've always been among us. Every generation's had one. We need to be alert and test everything by the Word of God.
Yes,
test everything by the Word of God. Matthew 7:15. Beware. Sound like a New Testament command to me. Sound like I don't have a choice. It doesn't say beware if you want to. It says beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Sometimes lost people are wolves, but his people are sheep. 15, Matthew 15:9. I know this is not shouting ground. It's just necessary. Matthew 15:9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They leave the Bible. Heresies. They're in the church. They're not in the world. They don't spread this in the world. They spread it in the church. They're deceptive. Quietly, privately, secretly, slippery. Slippery. That's what we're talking about. Heresies is plural. If you notice, there's more than one. There's many. And don't forget, there's only one way that a true false question is true. There's many ways it can be false. Punctuation, capitalization, dates, names, places. There's many ways it's wrong. But there's only one way a true false question is true. Again, right here. Any teaching contrary to Scripture, heretic believes what he wishes to believe. See, that wishing, man, that goes a long ways. I wish it was this way. No, it's this way. It's this way. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They deny he's the Savior. They deny that he died for all men. They like to take that all out. He died for some. No, he died for all. We read there in the beginning, he died for the false prophets and false teachers. He died for Hitler. They deny he's seated on the right hand of God. They deny the Scriptures. They deny Jesus. They deny the preachers and teachers in the church. They encourage immoral lives. They do not believe in absolute authority. That's really what wrinkles them right there. They do not believe the word about how to get to God. They believe in faith without repenting. They believe in faith without a changed life. Come as you are, leave as you were. They don't believe in separation from the world. They don't believe in denying the flesh. They don't believe in following Christ. They can abuse his name and go right on. 2 Corinthians 11. We're talking about false teachers and false prophets in the church today. Maybe not your church. 2 Corinthians 11. Starting in 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They exploit his people and make merchandise of them. Amen. Sell them out is what they do. Okay, we'll get back to verse 4 maybe next week. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, your word never changes. Thank you for Sister Cheryl singing about it. Lord, you're the great God and our Savior, and we worship you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name.